Is civil discussion the exception in American society today? Are we more likely to wave off or talk over someone who disagrees with us? That's been a concern for a number of years, but many believe it's gotten worse in the wake of the Trump administration. So what will get us back on track as fellow Americans and fellow community members? Princeton professors Cornel West and Robbie George frequently disagree about issues, but they call themselves and each other truth seekers. They visited ASU's Tempe campus recently for a conversation named Truth Seeking and Freedom of Expression, a Dialogue, and I met with them before that presentation. I started by asking them, Professor George answered first, why people who disagree should actually try talking things out and understanding the other person's point of view.
Because it's the best way to get at the truth of things. If two people disagree, but they're reasonable people, if there are two people who disagree but who want to know the truth and who value truth above their own opinions, then they enter into a relationship, a conversation with a view at getting the truth. The point of the kinds of conversations that Brother Cornel and I have is not victory, but truth. We're not a pair of gladiators. We've got a partnership. We're in the truth-seeking business. Mm. West and George, truth-seekers. That's what we do. And we try to get at it by examining the best arguments that we can make on the competing sides of questions.
Absolutely. We recognize that we are fallible, we are fallen, and we are finite. Mm-hmm. And therefore, we need to learn from others. We need to listen to others. And that dialogue is the very means through which any kind of democratic way of being in the world can be preserved.
I think we need to get past the idea that the goal is mere tolerance. Now, if that's the best we could do, I'd take it, because tolerance is sure better than warfare. I think it was Churchill, wasn't it, Brother Cornel, who said, jaw is better than war, war. But we shouldn't be satisfied with mere tolerance. We should try to learn from each other.
So even in the midst of this sort of conversation, the fact that two of you respect each other a lot, is the art of persuasion still there, or is this about the art of acceptance?
Oh, no, it's the art of persuasion, because we learn from each other all the time, very much so. But it's not just politics, you see, that love and friendship can't be reduced just to politics and policies, that we revel in each other's humanity, even as we may disagree about certain policies and political perspectives.
I don't want to persuade Cornell of something on which we disagree if the truth is that I'm wrong about it. I gain more if he corrects an error of mine than if I persuade him of something. Again, the point is not winning. The point is not victory. The point is truth-seeking. Each and every one of us, I just begin with me, each and every one of us knows the following. I would even dare to say, I rarely use this term, we know it infallibly. What's that thing we all know? Right now, I hold some beliefs that are untrue. So do you, so does Brother Cornell, so does everybody who's listening to this conversation. The trouble is, we don't know which ones they are. We all admit we know some of those beliefs are wrong because we're fallible. We just don't know which ones they are. With respect to each individual belief, we believe it because we believe it's true. We hold it because we believe it's true. Now, how can we shrink the set? How can we get nearer to the truth? Mm-hmm. How can we eliminate more of the false beliefs and get more of the true ones? It's by dialogue. It's by discussion. I'm not just trying to persuade the other guy, exercise in rhetoric. It's trying to learn together in a common enterprise of truth-seeking. Now, sometimes we mix it up. You know, sometimes we can go at each other. But it's with a goal of getting at the truth, not digging your heels in, not trying to win a victory, getting at the truth.
And there is a certain joy in the quest for truth. And that's not reducible to just narrow pleasure of winning. That the process itself ought to be integral to who we are. I think that's very much what trying to generate forms of civic virtue is all about, mm-hmm. What trying to sustain what John Dewey called democratic ways of being in the world.
I think part of what we so deeply share, Cornell and myself, is the idea that the truth is not merely instrumental. We want truth not just as a means to other ends, although sometimes truths are important as means to other ends, including good government. But we both have a profound sense that truth is also intrinsically valuable, that it's elevating of the human spirit, it's ennobling, it's enriching to get nearer and nearer to the to the truth. So truth is something we seek, we desire, we love, not just as a means, but for its own sake, and most fundamentally, really, for its own sake. That's why we've chosen as our vocations the life of the mind.
Are we born with the ability to be open-minded, and we lose it somewhere along the way? And part of what you two are talking about is a way to get back to, regardless of whether the foundations we hold ourselves, because what you're saying makes a lot of sense. If people are actually open to other people's thoughts, how do we get people back to being open-minded? Again, is that something that is a nature versus nurture argument?
Well, I do think that children often have a sense of awe and wonder. We call it childlikeness. Children also have a deep sense of egotism and narcissism. Call that childishness. And one of the ways of learning how to grow up in a mature manner is to preserve your childlikeness and minimize your childishness.
That's good.
So that to have an open mind as an adult is really to wrestle with, you know, these egotistical and narcissistic proclivities that we all have, never fully eliminate, but we're aware that we have them and we're involved in the struggle against them. Usually children don't have an awareness or a capacity to win out over the egotistical, even though they still have that beautiful sense of awe and wonder.
So this is obviously broadened beyond a political conversation, but I do have to come back to when we think about seeking truth, and a lot of people are concerned about something that starts at the top with our president and how he views what may or may not be true. You can comment about the administration or not, but I want to know where both of you think the tone is at right now in terms of whether people are seeking as much truth now as they should be.
Well, I think there's always a challenge to try to exemplify integrity, honesty, and decency. I think Donald Trump, in so many ways, is a sign and a symptom of a certain kind of spiritual blackout, where he seems to have very little concern with integrity, honesty, and decency. Those are just basic virtues that you would hope all of us would aspire to. So in that sense, he doesn't set a good example, but the danger is to try to fetishize Donald Trump and make it look as if he has a monopoly on the spiritual blackout, as opposed to that blackout being shot through our institutions, our structures, our own hearts and minds and souls. Because when you talk about a democracy, you're really talking about citizens who fundamentally committed to integrity, honesty, and decency, concerned about others, especially the weak and the vulnerable, concerned about public life, and most importantly, concerned about something bigger than their own individual egos and their individual appetites.
Throughout the campaign, I was a rather ferocious Trump critic from the conservative side. Back in the 90s, when I joined many, many other people on the conservative side in saying, in response to what we learned about Bill Clinton's conduct and obstruction of justice and perjury, I joined many people in saying, character matters for leadership. Character is important. Virtue in a leader really matters, including personal virtue, integrity, honesty, uprightness, self-control, self-restraint, decent kind of humility. Those things really matter. I believed it, and I still believe it. And I'm disappointed when I see my fellow conservatives so often not acting like they believe it anymore. They said it in Clinton's case. Good for them. Now, why are they less willing to say it today? If the leader is not a truth teller, then the message that goes out to people is we do not need truth in our public discourse. We do not need truth in our politics.
Professors West and George, thanks so much.
Thank you so very much.
Thank you. Brother.
Yes,
Cornel West and Robbie George are professors at Princeton. West is the author of Race Matters. George is the editor of A Second Look at First Things, A Case for Conservative Politics.